And along with two other wonderful people, this is Barry Miller of the Barry and Larry Wealth Building Program. This is the Wealth Building Hour. Yes, we're talking your wealth, your financial freedom. Oh, what kind of returns are we having to justify these days, Larry? So many people are asking me during the week, are you guys really what?
You're earning 60% returns on people's investments for 1 year?
It's happening. And this show shares information about who we are, so you know who we are. If you're going to trust your money with us, it's only important that you know who we are. But also we talk about the program. Our top three commitments to you individuals as wealth builders are, number one, optimizing your wealth. That's not simple to do, but we have the system that does it. Number two, bottomizing your risk. That's not easy to do, but guess what? The same system we have makes sure that your risk is protected, not year in and year out, day in and day out. We're watching the markets all the time, and that's how we protect your investment, your asset, your piece of the rock, your piece of real estate. And number three, fiduciary level services, where we are 100% loyal to you 100% of the time. And that includes after the process of finding, locating, analyzing, buying, and then renting your property. Oh, did I say renting your property?
You did.
Well, where the heck do you go to find out rental information? And who the heck? We call it, Larry Vestera Hotspots, a turnkey wealth building program. How the heck, Larry, can our listeners expect it to be turnkey if they have to rent a property?
Well, it isn't turnkey, but you get a property manager to do it for you. And we happen to have a great one sitting right to my right and Barry's left.
There you go, Eugene O'Brien. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning, guys.
Good having you here. It's always thank you for being here. So you know that the property management is such an important piece. And there are, you know, 6-7 pieces. There's 10 steps to being a wealth builder. But there's 6 or 7 really important steps. And one of those is properly managing the investment property. And that starts with selection of a property manager. We've said to our listeners, that's Eugene O'Brien. We're in the areas where he works. He doesn't work Raleigh, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's someone else. But Eugene, talk to us about that and how you're finding the investors as you're working with them. And it's okay. We won't call Chad out by name. Oh, I just did. But, you know, you could use that as part of the story because he's quite happy. And he interviewed 3 other property managers.
Absolutely, yes. We're working with Chad. He bought a home down in Fountain, Colorado. Fantastic home. We've just placed a tenant. We had 8 separate applications. We had applications coming in from overseas, from Germany. We always shoot a marketing video to make sure that our reach is broad and wide and that we interview the best people and the best prospective tenants for our properties. So he bought a home that attracted a lot of relocating military folk to Fort Carson, even as far abroad as Germany, coming from Germany. And we had some fantastic applicants, and we chose the right tenant that suited his needs the best.
Nice, nice. That was the plan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the plan with Barry and Larry's wealth building program is, and the system, the part that is important here in the process is, we help our customers find the property. We typically do the research, but we say to them, we will have 2 categories, 2 strong categories. I not just categories, two strong categories of potential tenants.
Oh, yeah.
Now, in Chad's case, the military was number one.
Mm.
And then tech center, likely, and possibly medical field workers in the Springs area. Now, I don't know. I don't know the answer at all. We didn't talk Chad.
Well, we actually eventually went with an IT professional. Software developer, fantastic income, can work from home, is pandemic proof.
Mm-hmm.
So we went that direction because of those reasons and wasn't subject to potential PCS orders, meaning they would be moved out, you know, at short-term notice and we would have to adapt.
Nice, because that was the second one.
That was the ideal candidate for Chad.
And see, what's so good about that is that there were two sets. And you said, I didn't know. You didn't know anything. Yeah, you didn't know that I was going to say this. Right. But we always say too strong. Don't buy an investment property unless you know that there are two strong groups and large groups of potential tenants.
Right.
And the Springs. I mean, let's see, Larry, you're there in the Springs. You live in Black Forest. What's going on is IT and the computer world, they're losing a lot of jobs weekly, aren't they, in the Springs?
Yeah, you know, they are, Barry, but the Springs still is a very strong market.
Is your mic on, Larry?
It is.
Okay, so you have to have that on. There you go. Try it now.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a little problem with our microphones and control boxes. We'll resolve that. This will never, ever happen again. I can commit to that, all our audience of that. But what I was saying is that, yes, the IT business is a very strong business in Colorado Springs. The military is the biggest, though. And if they correct the mistake they made of where to put the Space Center, it'll even be bigger.
It'll even be bigger, but that's the way to say it. The Springs isn't going to shrink. It's not going to lose, you know, more people coming to it from the military. It's just not going to have as many coming until the Space Center thing gets corrected. I hope it does. Are you involved in that at all?
They're not going to listen to me.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fair enough. Fair enough. So back to you, Eugene, and property management. So how does it work when someone calls you? Again, some of our wealth builders, for instance, Chad. So how did the process go for him, and how would it go for our listeners?
Right. I like to talk them through the pitfalls and what to look out for, what to be conscious of. Chad was a fantastic client. Because he understood that you could rent the property out for more, but if you price the property correctly, you're going to get the cream of the crop from the best available tenants.
Quality tenants.
And that's what he had. He had his pick of, you know, four or five fantastic applications, and it's just a shame we don't have more rental properties there at the moment to be able to place those people, but all in good time. So I like to discuss the process from front to back with people and just walk them through step by step how we approach it, how we market the property, how we do our background checks, and how we vet our tenants.
I'm thrilled as heck that you just said what you said, because I've been with COVID. My wife's, mine was mild to medium, not so nice though, but lingering tiredness. But that's over now. I started lifting weights again this week.
There you go.
You know, I am back. however, my wife is, and hers was a tough situation. We're not quite finished with that yet. By the way, it's just greatly affected her whole body and other elements of her health. But I am behind with a handful of wonderful listeners and clients who are looking for an investment property, and they went with my delayed timeline. So we're going to be this week possibly putting that many under contract. I'm glad to hear there are tenants for them.
Oh, there's plenty.
All right, that's the good news for everyone involved. But Eugene, thank you. Would you please share your phone number and let our listeners know when it's okay to call you? Like, can they call you right after the show?
They certainly can. That'd be a fantastic time. Any time of the weekend, during the week, please give me a call, as many of you have, and we've discussed your challenges and your goals, and we've talked about many things. Any time is good. Love to hear from you. Please give me a call, 720-421-2509.
720-421-2509. 1-800-273-0909. You could tell that's Barry talking. I don't have that lovely accent. Give Eugene a call, and he will be a wonderful, friendly ear to listen to your questions and your wants and needs. Give him a call now. You could do that right now and do it. We're going to take our first break. Then we're going to come back with my wealth building tip, which is talking about be careful. The typical wealth building process is stacked against you, the consumer. Later in the show, Larry's going to give you his tip, and his today is, when thinking about any wealth building program, always find out how your investment team gets paid. We're going to cover it for our listeners today, Larry. This is the Barry and Larry Show, and we are here. Oh, we have a skeptic in the room. Hello, Sherry.
Hello, Barry.
And have we said anything? Has Eugene said anything that you, the skeptic, want to respond to?
Well, what I'd like to say is, what is the process for the people who come in to speak with you, who are going to rent from you?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a process that they have to go through when you're vetting them? The amount of money that they make? I mean, naturally, we're going to be looking at a background check and so on and so forth. But is there a certain amount of money that they have to qualify for? And how do you do that?
We generally look for the household income to be 3.5 times the monthly rent to account for unexpected medical bills or car payments or things like that. And then that's our general, you know, modus operandi. But with the pandemic, we're implementing extra measures to make sure their job is stable in a pandemic. They don't have any medical bills that are really hurting them at the moment. Those types of extra measures to make sure that they're a safe tenant.
Yeah. I've had people comment to me lately how difficult that can be to prove that you make 3.5 times. That's
obviously,
a tough thing.
Obviously, they don't have the right system in. You mean the people to prove it for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to when they have good property management. That's what it's all about. Thank you again, Eugene. Thanks, Sherry. Stay with us, Sherry, for your thoughts and skepticisms throughout the show. Barry Miller here saying we're going to be right back. Building tip. My tip today is be careful, because the typical financial program that exists, whether it be Wall Street or anywhere else, any financial program, wealth building process is stacked against you, the consumer. So be careful. Here we go. Stock buying, stock selling, day trading, shorting, longing. Other forms of investing have proven themselves forever as being a deck of cards dealt to us by the securities industry and maybe the real estate industry, but those systems have been stacked against us, the consumers. If you ever wanted to see this proven beyond any shadow of doubt this week, anywhere on the TV in the congressional hearings on such investing, were the perfect multiple cases of staying farther and farther away from most Wall Street and stock trading companies. Holy criminy. You want to talk about double talk and triple talk and quadrupling, doubling down, quadrupling over, because their gobbledygook, listen to it on Wall Street Week. I mean, they repeat that thing about 5 times over the weekend, and it is fraught with dangers for you as an investor. Oh my gosh, those people are slick. I didn't care for most of them, I'm sorry to say. The above, what happened this week, and GameStop and Game This and Shop and Spend Your Money Here, the above is why we call our company Vestera Hotspots. It means invest in the land. Keep it simple. Vestera. Terra is land. Vest is invest. Invest in the land and the hot spots within the land. Look, the earth ball is not getting larger, but we have more and more people all the time. And so hot spots become hotter, but it's data and research that keep markets looking and checking out where the hotspots are. So we call our services wealth building, your wealth building, and the hotspots are discovered and revealed to you and for you. Our methods are completely open and completely described at our wealth building seminars. We're not going to be promoting it heavily. Why? Because it's almost full and it's coming up next Saturday. But you could see, get your name on for the next month's seminar. And last month we had 3 cancellations at the last minute due to illnesses. That could happen again. So give us a call and sign up. But our system is fully open and described at this 90-minute seminar. Take a look. Come to one of our monthly wealth building seminars. Let our listeners know when it's happening this coming Saturday, Larry, and where they could go to make a reservation.
That's right. You can easily sign up for the February 27th seminar. It's at 10:30 to noon. All you need to do is either give us a call or text us at 303-888-3788, or you can email us at truth@barryandlarry.com.
Yeah, so that's good.
So, Barry, I'm kind of curious, what is a hot spot?
What is a hotspot? A hotspot, by definition of the Barry and Larry Wealth Building Program, is a city. A city that has met strict criteria of being a strong residential real estate market, a strong investment, not just strong, the strongest out of 200 such markets in the United States that are carefully scrutinized. Look, every year we start with 500. Every 3 months within the year, we look at the top 200. Okay, and of those 200, Larry, you know we scrutinize, research, look at data, 50-plus vantage points to determine will that location, that city, be a hotspot 3 years from now. You can predict what's going to happen next year, next 2 years, next 3 years. You talk to real estate agents who say, I can't predict. I mean, these are owners of companies, and I'm sorry, your castle. You can predict because that's what data is all about. Just look and use the correct data. Do the research for somebody besides your own self pocketbook interests, like we do for the consumer. And the data says that Colorado Springs is not only one of our hotspots, it's the hottest of our 5 hotspots. We end up this quarter having 5 hotspots. And typically we say, they're all pretty equal. We look at some different price ranges so that we stay within a nice, safe model of safety. What is a model of safety, Larry? That's what our hotspots are. They're models of safe investments. But what criteria do we use that would help our listeners know what safety is?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question, Barry, but we look at things like what is happening to the population growth in the community. What is happening to the median price of homes in a community? We look at unemployment rates.
Right,
we look
at jobs.
That's right. We look at the number of jobs available. We look at the kinds of jobs that are available. We look for large controlling markets like the military in Colorado Springs.
Like what else in Colorado Springs? Because they as a city have a whole, as a metro area really, have a whole second strong market that goes behind the military. What is that?
That's technology.
Technology. And that's not true of every city.
No. And, you know, it wasn't always true of Colorado Springs. When I moved here 30-plus years ago, I would never have called it a technology center.
And yet it is. And it's that's number two. And military is number one. So the models, you're right on, Larry. They're criteria that hotspots must meet. Now, let's go a little bit further. Well, Sherry, did you have a question?
Yeah, what other types of criteria are we looking at? We're looking at jobs and stability. What else do you look for in a hotspot? And
what?
What else do you look for in terms of a hotspot? What criteria are you looking at? I understand you're looking at data and how long is a company going to be viable. In the military, they're always going to be viable or almost that always in Colorado Springs. What other things are you looking for in each city?
Well, okay, we said jobs. That's
we said
big.
Jobs.
Jobs mm-hmm. is not just one set of data. Jobs
industry.
Is what it's well, it's what?
I'd like to know about the industry. Do you look at the industries?
Of course. And we look at the companies that are there. Okay. But is the tech industry growing in this country?
It is.
Is it going to continue? Is it going to be growing 3 years from now?
Absolutely.
Well,
yes, absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Military growing?
Yes.
And will it be growing 3 years from now?
In the spring? Well, yes.
Yes. But, and yeah, we look at it nationally,
sure.
regionally, but
what else
in
are we looking
the
at
city?
In terms of finding a hot spot.
A whole pile of other things, like schools. Are the schools growing? Are they?
It depends on the school district.
Actually, how do you find out?
Well, raw data.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well,
Larry
what,
had something
what
important
raw
to
data?
Say.
What raw data?
The data yes. that you and Barry pull every single week, every single month, you're extrapolating information and dropping it into Excel spreadsheets and examining. I've never seen anybody as brilliant as the two of you when it comes to extrapolating and interpreting data.
No, thank you. We don't interpret it. That's a mistake.
Okay.
We do not interpret the data.
The data.
Data
speaks.
Interpreters are liars most of the time. People who interpret data are liars. L capitalized, I capitalized, A capitalized, R capitalized. They're liars. We research data and let the data speak to us. Larry, how does the data speak to us about a school system if it's growing or not? Let's see. Maybe there are more students there this year than last year. That's
yep.
not interpreting data.
No.
That's saying
that's
let the,
a fact.
That's a fact. Let the data speak. See, we are true researchers.
Yes, you are.
We're not interpreters. Interpreters are subject to what? Subjectivity. The answer is in the question. Interpreters put their subjective thoughts and desires. Larry and I make that mistake once in a while, but we don't allow it because we have three people at the end look at that data and say, is that data saying the same thing to you, all three people? And if our thumbs aren't up, all three, then we continue to research for more data. So every one of our 50-plus criteria, like schools. Oh, mm-hmm. by the way, most states have a highway department or a department of transportation.
Most states.
All states. 50 states
yes.
in the United States. They research what?
Infrastructure.
Infrastructure and what aspects about what two primary aspects of infrastructure? People is the area growing and roads. And typically the Department of Transportation is interested in transportation. So they're constantly researching raw data to say, where do we put the limited dollars we have? They're always crying about not enough money. Sometimes it's true. But the point is they have limited dollars to do what?
To be able to repair and restructure the infrastructure.
And build more highways.
Exactly. But that's why I was saying that you were interpreting, too, is because what you're looking at is 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. So you're looking at raw data today, but aren't you interpreting that raw data to be able to look at what's going to happen in the future?
No. Those experts do
uh-huh.
that. for the Department of Transportation.
Okay, they do that.
Look, you know, real estate people are always saying buy now, sell now. So we look at those experts' data. They will say we project. The data says that we need highway money for this, that, and the other project down the road. Okay, that talking in budgeting. Time. Mm-hmm. It's called time management and looking at the data. So, yes, we look at that data and put it to use for whom, Larry?
For our consumers who may want to invest.
And that's what separates our wealth building program from others. We put all of our efforts to put the data to use for our customers. That's what we do at the Barry and Larry Wealth Building Program. Thanks, Sherry, for pulling
you.
That out. And
thank
by the way, there's another seminar. 20 items of the same thing that we do.
20?
Oh, 50. I don't have
and
time to
get into
all of them.
And where can I find out all about that?
You have to talk to us personally. A lot of them are secrets, but okay. Because
at the seminar?
At the seminar, you'll see the results of that, and you'll see some of that. Anybody who wants to see what the 50 are, Larry and I would say, okay, we have our meetings roughly every week of every year, well, 48 to 50 weeks out of the year. We look at that data, but do consumers want to look over our shoulders if they ever want to? They're welcome. Just give us a call. You want to see it? Just sit in the meeting. You have to be quiet. Okay, it's like almost
can't do that with me.
Yeah, you'll be behind the glass, etc. And yes, we can because we don't allow people to see some of our secret data. So it's
oh, that there. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's competition out there. Okay, Larry?
I was going to say, and be prepared to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, before
I had to sign one.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah,
and
I did.
That's why. Because it is so specialized. The system is, I could say complex, but we don't think it is. It's only 50 to 60 different economic analysis of any city. And when you put all those together, and we're watching all of them all the time, if we see the number of building permits go down in a given month, we say why. And then we do further research. And that's why we bottomize people's risk. We almost eliminate the risk by constant research. Barry Miller, happy to be questioned like this. I really like it. It really points out to you how thorough our program really is. Sign up for it. It's coming up next week. And again, if it is full or by now it's full, it's not quite, give us a call at 303-888-3788. If it's full, we'll put you on first for our seminar for the last Saturday in March. Barry Miller saying, let's take a break, Larry, and let's come back with your tip in a moment. Okay, lively session there. Thank you. You see how thorough and deep the research goes. Larry, you have a wealth-building tip that's a little bit more on the surface, and it hurts our pocketbook if we make mistakes.
Absolutely. When you're thinking about any wealth-building program, always find out how your investment team members are getting paid. As an investor in our wealth-building program, your goal should always be to maximize the return on your investment. Don't be nice. Maximize the return. Therefore, you should minimize your investment costs by negotiating real estate commissions and also all other fees. Besides minimizing your commission costs, you should negotiate fees charged by the mortgage broker, the home inspector, and the property manager. Once you have chosen a team leader who always puts your interests ahead of their own, let the team leader guide you through the rest of the negotiations. That's it.
Ooh, Larry.
Short and simple.
That is it. That is what the consumers should do all the time with anything in the financial world. I don't care if it's a financial planner. I don't care if it's a retirement specialist. I don't care if it's a CPA, lawyer, tax expert that you select. You should have those people in your life, okay? Somewhere along the way, they'll help you put your financial package together. They'll help you navigate. Oh, that's a favorite word that people like to use. Navigate the financial system. It's a very relevant term. And have as many of those as you need. Ours is a simple, solid, safe, secure, and pretty smart wealth-building process. And yes, with us, you should know where and how people get paid. It's a very important piece that you shared, Larry. It's the monetary piece that will save people a lot of money. And what does that do? Improve their wealth? Yes. Improve their investment? Yes. Make them happier? Yes. And all they have to do is ask.
That's a simple one. But Barry, what are real estate brokers? Will they negotiate their fees or...
I mean, I'm not going to use the two-letter word, Larry. I'm going to answer your question and do my best to not use the two-letter word, but give the full answer. So your question is, will real estate brokers negotiate their fees? Yes, if you pressure them enough, if you ask in enough of the right ways. Look, let's give brokers credit. They want to defend their commissions. I'm not one of those, by the way. I don't really respect that because that's putting the self-interest of the broker ahead of the potential client. So I'm really not in favor of what I just said. However, let's give them, they're humans too. And they're saying, hey, I've always gotten 6%. How come you're trying to change it? I remember a great agent at Remax Cherry Creek, and she told me where I could put my 6% thought when 7% was still the normal. Mm. She said where I could put that. I guess you got that picture, okay? I don't need to say where she said I could shove it. And I respect the heck out of her. She said, Barry, I don't have to do that. I said, I don't either. I want to do it because it's the right thing in my book. It doesn't have to be the right thing in a broker's book. But, Larry, no. They resist negotiate. Oh, I said the two-letter word.
He did.
He said no.
Oh, it's so hard to answer that question and not. The question is, will real estate brokers negotiate their fees? Larry, they will, but not willingly. That's what I mean to say.
Well, let's take a little look at something, Barry.
Yeah.
In the last 3 or 4 years and along the Front Range, we've seen housing prices go up 20-25% sometimes per year.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 15%. And so the commissions that these real estate brokers are earning are going to be equal to that growth. So they're going to get a 15% growth in their commissions. Do you get 15% growth in your paycheck every year? Not me. I don't see that. Should I give that?
That's how consumers should look at it.
I agree.
Now, there's another thing, though. Consumers should also look at the amount of work that real estate individual agents have to do. Is that workload more difficult in 2021 than it was in 2011 or 2001?
No, it is not. I'm going to use a two-letter word.
You use it. It's much less. And what one tool makes it less?
I'm not sure what tool you're talking about.
The internet.
Share that with me.
The internet.
Yeah. Because if it's on the internet, it must be true.
I'm not saying that.
Oh,
absolutely
good.
Wrong.
Good.
The internet causes buyers to do research they never had the ability to do before. And the buyer's research saves buyer agents 10 to 25% of the time that the buyer agent used to spend meeting the buyer at the real estate agent's office, getting in the car, and looking at 3 or 4 or 6 properties. And agents don't have to do that anymore. They typically meet the buyer in separate cars. Now, COVID is a temporary thing. I don't use COVID as making the job easier. I think it's made it more interesting, not necessarily more difficult. But a tad more complicated, but not more difficult. So, yes, the internet as a tool, consumers are saying, hey, I found the property. And that saves 10 to 30% if the consumers found the property and the agent didn't have to do research. I have buyers. I don't know about you. I'll ask you if you do, but I do. I get buyers who say, you won't have to find the property. I'm really savvy with RE Colorado, Iris, and Pikes Peak, Realtor MLS, depending where they're looking. And they said, I'm really savvy with that. Are you okay, Barry, if I do the research for the property? And, of course, we've talked about their wants and needs and how they research. It is thorough. And they say, we'll do the research. Are you okay if I just call you and say, hey, this is the property I think I want to see. Would you check it out? And if it, you check it out, let's meet there. Do you have buyers who do that?
I do, and I don't have a problem with that, of course, because we're all about the consumer here. I always did point out, however, don't discount something that I have sent you.
No, they want
because,
that. They want that.
Because you don't like the front picture, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Because you don't like the visual that you're seeing, sometimes I look at these properties differently than you might. And because of what you communicated to me, I feel very strongly you need to at least see it.
So you have the apple and the orange, and they want both. They could be the apple doing their research, and they want us to be the orange.
We're
doing
a team.
Our
that's what I always
and that's
tell them.
Why we are the consumer leaders, and why consumers more and more are saying, be a part of our consumer team. Thanks, Sherry, for making us the consumer part of your team. Yes, I want to team up with you, and that's how teams work. But it makes our job easier, and we spend less time doing research than we had to in the past. So that combined with, let's see, Sherry, here's a question for agents and you and me and all of us. What did we have to do with the 17% equity gain in a bunch of the zip codes in Colorado Springs? What did you do to make that happen?
What did I do? By creating bidding wars?
What did you do to make that economy happen and the houses go up?
I don't know.
Say
tell me, Barry.
Nothing.
No, I'm confused. I didn't do anything.
You got it. And yet you're going to get a 17% pay raise nothing. You just made Larry's point.
Well,
and that helps our listeners see Larry's point. Very good. Very good.
Very good.
Yeah, no, that's how what Larry's point was. Mm-hmm. Larry, that's it. Did you have other questions about your item?
No, well, yes, but let's move on, Barry. It's probably a time to take a break.
I think it is. Let's take our last break, and then let's come back with Sherry, Larry, and Barry, and we're going to talk a little bit more about today's theme, the wealth-building process.
Barry, let's get started. I've got a few questions to ask you.
I hope they're overview questions, you know, about the seminar and about wealth building. Yeah?
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about why are we able to pick hot spots and how do we go about doing that?
Again, a great amount of time and research, okay? Research is the key. All kinds of research and data. I mean, you know, Sherry pulled more of that out of us earlier in the show, just about one element, et cetera. And then you talked about negotiations, et cetera. But we look at such things. Let's talk about where our data comes from.
Where does our data come from? It comes all over the place. It comes from
National Association of Realtors. Is probably one of the central places. I label it as number one. Number two, well, maybe number one, tied for number one, is the federal government, but lots of agencies. Census data is only one.
That's right. The Labor Department is another.
The Labor Department is another. And state departments of population studies and departments of transportation and education departments. Oh, by the way, school districts are a part of the research. And you know what, I'll say this unequivocally, it is my favorite research center, Pew. P-E-W. Pew Research Center. By the way, NAR contracts with them all the time. But Pew Research has been around for decades. Pew Research is so powerful that what it calls generations is what eventually become the standard terms for generations. Hey, Larry, here's an odd one. Now, I'm not meaning to put you on the spot, but here's like a trivia question. What of all the generations that we currently have, okay, and what do we have? We have about five of them. I'll name them. This is a fun trivia for our listeners too. Okay. We have the silent generation. They're the older generation. We have the baby boomers. Then we have Generation X or Gen X. Then we have the millennials. And then the youngest named, they're not the youngest people living because the youngest one of these is 9 years old, Generation Z. Of those five generations, are any officially named by the U.S. government?
I think the answer is one, and I'm going to guess that it's a baby boomer.
You are absolutely right.
That was an easy one.
Oh, you knew that was officially
named? I didn't know it for sure until the two of you said it.
I'll tell you, I had no clue.
I thought it was a no-brainer while I was thinking baby boomers.
But I would have said none of them were official.
Really?
But they're, yeah.
I was thinking about the war and about how they all came home and ended up having babies, and then we became the baby boomers.
No, that's explaining what it is. I'm asking, is one named officially by our U.S. government? The only one is baby boomers. The reasons you gave are there. Now, here's one. Let's talk. We're having fun. And our listeners get some data. Which generation has the largest number of people in it?
Millennials.
I think it's still the baby boomers. I can't read that. I need to put my cheaters on.
Millennials overtake baby boomers as America's largest
generation. Where did you get that from?
From Pew Research.
I'll be darned.
And by the way, when did that happen?
Yes.
Almost a year ago.
Is that right?
Almost a year ago.
And I was guessing. I did not know that for a fact.
Wow.
I'll take credit for getting it right.
You had a good guess. So millennials who are from 1981 through 96, millennials are now aged 25 to 40. And by the way, there's two reasons why they are the most populous of the generations.
Why?
Well, one is the baby boomers, unfortunately, are passing away.
Unfortunately, that is one of them. Mm-hmm. Millennials, what's happening there? They're not being born because they're 25 immigration.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good point.
Now, does immigration affect investments in our country?
Oh, yes.
Yes, sure it does. There's another area, Sherry, that we study.
Thank you. Yes.
That we study, and it's different in different cities. Okay,
sure.
Et cetera. And again, this is not a political show, but immigration, people coming in to our country, there are more millennials coming in than there are millennials dying. So that's a net increase of the millennials.
You got that from Pew as well?
Oh, Pew has all kinds.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, if any of you are research and just love to look up anything, I mean, Pew Research has data and studies on more stuff, okay? And if you are a data junkie and love to look at I am, and admit it proudly, et cetera.
Really?
It's really, absolutely, it's really, really a lot of fun. But Pew Research has all this simple data that I call it that's very beneficial to you as investors.
And despite their name, you don't have to hold your nose when you look at their data.
Oh, right. I will give you one point. From yesterday, I sat with Barry. We were doing something, and he started to get into a bunch of different research. And I was like, deer in the headlights. I'm like, Barry, would you stop? Where do you get all that stuff?
it's just there.
I know.
It's what we do. I have no idea.
My eyes glass over. I'm like, Barry, where did you just go there?
And the reason, of course, and Sherry knows this, that's why we're working so well as a team, it's for you, the consumer, as is our seminar. Our 90-minute seminar is coming up next week. Yes. Oh, yes.
Hang on.
I want to give a shout out. Yes. I won't say your phone number, but you who contacted me in the last 20 minutes, yes, we have room for you on the 27th. And I think that is only because we have some latitude of what we can do now that our state is in a yellow position instead of orange. And so, yes, we will have you in, and I will call you after the show, I hope before noon today, to get your information. So get your reservation in. It may be full, but again, we have it coming up the end of March. But more importantly, call us anytime during the week with any kind of question about wealth building. We are available via text, via email. Our email is truth@BarryandLarry.com, because data can be the truth, and it should be the truth. Raw data. That's what is the truth, from research experts who don't have a political agenda. Sherry?
I was just going to ask. I'm one of those consumers that if I go to a seminar, I'm the one who's leaving my checkbook and my credit card at home, because I will buy anything. You're not going to try and sell me tapes.
We don't sell anything at the seminar or later.
All you do
we
is share information.
Share information. Larry?
That's right. So please give us a call at 303-888-3788 and sign up to attend the seminar.
Barry Singh for Sherry and Larry. Bye-bye for now. We love you. Bye.